Continuing chapter 10 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are a few more pastimes left in this chapter. Mahaprabhu has just returned to Jagannath Puri from his tour of South India, and now and the different devotees who will be participating in his pastimes, they meet him. So the devotees in Jagannath Puri have been introduced, and Kala Krishna Das has gone to, been sent to Navadvip Mayapur to tell the devotees from Bengal, Sachimanta, and the devotees from Bengal that Mahaprabhu's returned, and they're going to all come to Puri just in time for Rath Yatra. And then some very special devotees will come right now. When Srup Damodar was residing in Navadvip under the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his name was Purushottam Acharya. After seeing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order, Purushottam Acharya became like a madman and immediately went to Varanasi to take sannyas. At the conclusion of his sannyas, why did he go mad? Because Mahaprabhu was going to leave Jagannath Puri. Going to leave Navadvip, and they were very close. So it could mean that he was not going to see Mahaprabhu again. After all, what happened with Vishwarup, when he became the sannyasi known as Shankaranya, and no one saw him again, because the rule for a sannyasi is that he cannot return to his village again. So Srup Damodar, he became Srup Damodar, but then Purushottam Acharya, he became mad. And in his madness, he went to Benares and he took sannyas. At the conclusion of his sannyas, his spiritual master, Chaitanyananda Bharati, ordered him, read Vedanta Sutra and teach it to all others. Srup Damodar was a great renunciate, as well as a great learned scholar. With heart and soul, he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So there's something funny in there, because he didn't read Vedanta Sutra as a Mayavadi, certainly. He just took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He was very enthusiastic to worship Sri Krishna without disturbance. Therefore, it was almost in madness that he accepted the sannyas order. Upon accepting sannyas, Purushottam Acharya followed the regulative principles by giving up his tuft of hair and sacred thread, because this is what's not done in the Gaudiya tradition of sannyas, but in the Mayavad tradition it is done, it seems. But he did not accept the saffron-colored dress. So he didn't wear saffron. He took one part and didn't take another part. Also, he did not accept the sannyas title, but remained as a Naishtika Brahmachari. So there are some cultural considerations that are difficult to understand. And here, without being a part of that culture and understanding the significance of what he did, but it was clear that he didn't just accept everything. So what did he accept? He didn't have his thread, and he didn't have the sika. But he didn't change his name, or he didn't accept the sannyas name, and he didn't put on saffron. But Mahaprabhu put on saffron when he took sannyas. Purport. There are regulative principles governing the renounced order. One has to perform 8 kinds of shraddha, ceremonies. One must offer oblations to one's forefathers and perform the sacrifice in Virojahom. Then one must cut off the tuft of hair called the sika, and also give up the sacred thread. These are the preliminary processes in the acceptance of sannyas, and Srup Damodar accepted all these. However, Purushottam Acharya did not accept the saffron color, the sannyas name, or a danda. So 3 things he didn't accept. He retained his brahmachari name, but actually Purushottam Acharya did not accept the sannyas order formally, but he renounced worldly life, the essence of the meaning of sannyas. He did not want to be disturbed by the formality of the sannyas order. He simply wanted to worship Lord Sri Krishna without disturbance. Therefore, with heart And so he took the renounced order, but not the formalities accompanying it. Renunciation means not doing anything but serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. When one acts on this platform trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is both a sannyasi and a yogi. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 6.1, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Anasrita Karmaphalam Karyam Karma Karotiya Nas Sasanyasi Chayogi Cha Na Niragnya Na Chakriya. The Blessed Lord said, yeah, that was from the original. When the Bhagavad Gita as it originally came out, that's how instead of saying Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God, had said, Hai Griva Prabhu, he translated Sri Bhagavan Uvacha as the Blessed Lord said. So the question could be asked, because he's the Supreme Lord, who is giving him blessings that makes him blessed? But that's actually a legitimate way to address someone who's already blessed. It's actually legitimate to say the blessed, that he's blessed, but very soon they changed it from the Blessed Lord in the Bhagavad Gita to the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. One who is unattached, so they must have used the oldest translation here, one who is unattached to the fruit of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Okay, who remembers something from that verse? Difficult, yes? The Blessed Lord said, everyone remember that? Okay. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work, anasrita karma phalam. So it's unattached to the fruit of his work. Karyam karma karotiya. But who works as he is obligated. So he's unattached and he works as he's obligated. Sa sannyasi. He is in the renounced order of life. Cha yogi cha. And he is the yogi. He is the mystic. Not na niragnya na chakriya. Not he who doesn't do homas or fire sacrifices, and na cha kriya, and works, not who works. Okay, now who remembers something from the verse and the purport? It was about the nature of Purushottamacharya sannyasa.
Although Purushottamacharya didn't accept some of the formalities in his heart, he accepted the principle of renunciation.
Yeah, he was a full renunciant. And what was his purpose of accepting sannyas, even though he did it almost in madness?
For the association.
Well, that's maybe, but that's not said.
So he wouldn't be disturbed in his worship.
Yeah, he wanted to focus only on the worship of the Supreme Lord, not have any other duties or obligations. So almost in madness, he did that. So he didn't accept all the externals, because with all the externals, the rules and regulations, then his real purpose wouldn't have been fulfilled. That's what it seems to be his consideration. So he, in the, what's it called? What's the ceremonies called before the before taking the actual ceremony? This, I can't remember the name of the second. There's a Sanskrit name for it. So he removed the sika and cut his sacred thread. And what was the other thing?
Sanyas.
I didn't.
Sanyas garb.
He didn't take the saffron, and he didn't carry a danda. And he kept his brahmachari name. But interestingly, his brahmachari name was Sarup. But that was the brahmachari name of the brahmacharis. I think this is explained later. The brahmacharis who are brahmacharis under the Bharati sannyasis. Their brahmachari name is Sarup. So he kept certain parts but didn't take others. After taking permission from his sannyas guru, yet he was so respectful, Srup Damodar went to Nilachala and accepted the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then all day and night, in ecstatic love of Krishna, he enjoyed transcendental mellows in the loving service of the Lord. Ratri Dine Krishna Preme Ananda Vivara. So he went to Nilachala. Guru Tane, from his guru, Agyamage, he got the order. He asked permission and got the order. Ayla Nilachale. So he went to Jagannath Puri. And then day and night, Krishna Premiananda Vivala, he was overwhelmed. So that was his service was fulfilled, perfected in Mahaprabhu's association. Who knows where he stayed in Puri? That's where Mahaprabhu stayed. Where did he stay?
Near Haridasa Kula Samadhi area.
Is that where his temple is? I thought it was... Who stayed in Yameshwar Toto?
Where?
Yameshwar.
Yameshwar, I don't know.
I think...
I don't know where that is.
Yameshwar. That's near Toto Gopura.
Yameshwar, oh, yeah. I don't know.
The one that's sunken.
Yeah,
I think he may have stayed near there. I think so, perhaps. Either that or Pundarik Vidyanidhi stayed there, I think. I thought it was Suktamada. In any case, Suktamada was the limit of all learned scholarship, but he did not exchange words with anyone. What does that mean? Yeah, he didn't discuss. He didn't waste time in Pajalpa. He simply remained in a solitary place, and no one could understand where he was. No wonder you didn't know where he was. Proving the point. Krishna rasa tattva veta deha prema rupa sakshad mahaprabhura dviti sarupa. Sri Suktamada was the personification of ecstatic love, Krishna rasa tattva veta. Fully cognizant, fully aware of personification of ecstatic love as prema rupa, and fully cognizant, fully aware of the transcendental mellows in relationship with Krishna, Krishna rasa tattva veta. He directly represented Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his second expansion. Shakshad, he was directly Mahaprabhu, dvitiya saru. Second, like the second form of Mahaprabhu. It was so heart-to-heart connected. If someone wrote a book or composed verses and songs, Granta, Shloka, Gita, Keha, Prabhu, Pashehane, and wanted to recite them before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Suktamada would first examine them and then correctly present them. Only then would Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agree to listen. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never pleased to hear books or verses opposed to the conclusive statements of devotional service. The Lord did not like hearing rasabhasa, the overlapping of transcendental mellows. Here's the purport. Bhakti Siddhanta Virudha refers to that which is against the principles of unity and diversity, philosophically known as Achinta Bheda Bhed, simultaneously oneness and difference. So where does that come from, those three words? Bhakti Siddhanta Virudhaya. Comes from the Pranam Mantra of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of those. Rasabhas may appear to be a transcendental mellow, but actually it is not. Those who are pure Vaishnavas should avoid these things opposed to devotional service. These misconceptions practically parallel the Mayavad philosophy. If one indulges in Mayavad philosophy, he gradually falls down from the platform of devotional service. By overlapping mellows, rasabhas, one eventually becomes a prakriti sahaji and takes everything to be very easy. One may also become a member of the Bao community and gradually become attracted to material activity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to avoid bhakti siddhanta virudha and rasabhas. In this way, the devotee can remain pure and free from fall downs. Everyone should try to remain aloof from bhakti, siddhanta, viruddha, and rasavas.
Can you explain a little bit on what exactly rasavas is referring to here? Is it a philosophical, something quite specific, or just not proper understanding?
Well, he's going to speak about it more. But I don't know if it... Generally, we talk about rasavas, meaning the flavors in the exchange that aren't actually compatible.
Yeah. But then it was linked with the Chinchabeda Abheda Chatra.
Yeah, and also with Mahavad philosophy and Sahajiism.
Yeah. Imaginary emotional experience.
And it's the vows. The Bao community. But I never heard that particular definition of rasabhas. before the imaginary. You know, that's more what sahaja is.
But I just wondered, because of the linking.
Well, let's see what the next verse
says. Prabhupada said there that Ranganyas and Rasabhas have a tendency towards Prakriti Sahaja.
Yes.
But also, impersonalism can infer, and then gradually become.
So one may also become a member of the Bao committee. The Baos are, because Mahaprabhu says, and he'll say later on, that he's like a Bao, which means a madman in love for Krishna, crying but acting on the material platform.
I wondered that in this context, what has been spoken of here, like...
Well, I also don't know.
Prem Mandir, you see these people coming from the Prem Mandir all the time, and they have a deity in their hands, and they cry, they're dancing around, and they're holding Krishna, and... Have you seen that? That's the impersonal...
That funny-looking lady we saw who carrying a deity, is she from there?
Maybe Mother Yasoda or who knows who... So many of them, I know, it's a big thing now to carry a deity with you, a gopal, and sort of do all sorts of things. And because they are under the impression that they are, because, you know, I'm Radha, or I'm a gopi, Krishna's attracted to me, I'm singing the song, Krishna's listening to me.
But I'm not sure. That would be clear. It's clear how that would be Mayavad, but it's not clear how that's Rasabhas.
Yeah, true. That's why I asked what...
Well, I don't know. That's why I said, let's see if Prabhupada says anything in the next verse. If it was the practice for Srirupa Damodar Goswami to examine all literature to find out whether their conclusions were correct, only then would he allow them to be heard by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purport. So that's a little bit more on what the meaning of it is, that he didn't like Rasabhasa, yeah, or Bhakti Siddhanta Virudha. Ara Rasabhasa means, and also Rasabhasa. So it's really Bhakti Siddhanta Virudhaya that it's being talked about more than Rasabhasa, at least from the purport. So Srirupa Damodar used to examine everyone's books, all literatures, if they wanted Mahaprabhu to hear it, to see if the Siddhanta was correct. Parikshana means examine. Shudahai yadi, if the conclusion is correct. Otherwise, Mahaprabhu wouldn't hear it. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if something impedes the execution of devotional service, it should be understood to be impure. Pure devotees of the Lord do not accept impure principles. Impure devotees accept rasabhas, or overlapping contradictory mellows, and other principles opposed to bhakti path. The followers of such impure principles are never accepted as pure devotees. There are many parties following the path of rasabhas, and the followers are sometimes adored by ordinary men. Those who adopt the conclusions of rasabhas and bhakti siddhanta virudha are never accepted as devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srirupa Damodar Goswami never approved such followers as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, nor did he allow them to even meet the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So basically, Prabhupada is quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about the different upper sampradayas. The upper means false, like actual Gaudiya Sampradayas, were not actual. You don't see it too much nowadays, but in the when we first went to Vrindavan, you used to see Saki Bakis more. Mm. Where, you know, the gentleman wearing saris, trying to be in the mood of a...
I haven't seen that for a long time.
Yeah.
You sometimes see them wearing Krishna costumes.
Yeah, only that one fellow. That's Shudahari. That one, that's upper Sampradaya, is called Shudahari. He's wearing the crown of Hari.
Uh-huh.
Well, but he still has to wait for the doors to open before he can have darshan. In India, Vrindavan, just everyone doing their own, doing what they're doing, no notices. You know, have you seen that fellow in Krishna Balaram? He's been there for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Comes in with a flute and a peacock, wearing a peacock feather.
The old man.
Huh?
They used to a long time ago, 20 years ago. He must be elderly, wasn't
he? No, he's not old. If it's the same one.
The new one.
Or maybe he's Navayovana. There's an age. perhaps. Anyway, Mahaprabhu didn't like it. So that you can see how thinking you're Krishna, and there you are Mayavadi already. It's not pure devotees, even though people say, oh, how wonderful. So some of them have rasavas, but they all have bhakti siddhanta virudha, incorrect conclusions. Sri Sup Dhamara used to read the poems of Vidyapati and Chandidas and Jayadev Goswami's Sri Gita Govinda. He used to make Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happy by singing these songs. Sup Dhamara was an expert musician. He was as expert a musician as the Gandharvas. And in scriptural discussion, he was just like Brihaspati. So when someone sings wonderfully, in the Vedic culture, he's usually compared to a Gandharva. And if one is learned, he's compared to Brihaspati, the guru of Indradev, the priest of the heavenly gods. Therefore, it is to be concluded there was no great personality quite like Sup Dhamara. So Sup Dhamara, now this is, it's because this is all good, letting us know the position of Sup Dhamara, because he's come to the shelter of Mahaprabhu. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Sup Dhamara Goswami was very expert in music as well as Vedic scriptures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call him Damodar, because of his expert singing and musical skills. The name Damodar was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and added to the name given by his sannyas guru. He was therefore known as Sarup Damodar, or Damodar Sarup. He compiled a book of music named Sangeeta Damodar. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there it is. But it doesn't... So, but Sangeeta means music, not songs, right? Does it mean songs or...
Both.
Huh?
Both, no? Sangeeta.
I think... Anyway, I've never heard of it. I don't know if anyone ever heard of this book. I mean, who has it? It seems to be lost. Sri Sup Dhamara was very dear to Advaita Charja and Nityananda Prabhu, and he was the life and soul of all the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur. Advaita Nityanandera Parama Priyatama Srivasari Bhaktagana Ganera Hoya Pranasama. He was there exactly as Pranasama. He was like their life. So with him present, they felt like they were alive. And just like when the life, the prana, leaves the body, then you're dead. So when Sarup Dhamara wasn't present, they felt like their life had left their body. Such a wonderful way to express how dear he was to the devotees. It was Sarup Dhamara who came to Jagannath Puri, and he fell flat before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering him obeisances and reciting a verse that's included in Chaitanya Chandradaya Natak by
Kavikarnapu.
O ocean of mercy, this is the verse, the English translation that Prabhupada gave. Sri Chaitanya Dayanidhi, O ocean of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation. By your mercy, everything is made pure and blissful. It awakens transcendental bliss and covers all gross material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising among different scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy causes the heart to jubilate by pouring forth transcendental mellows. Your mercy always stimulates devotional service, which is full of joy. You are always glorifying the conjugal love of God. May transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart by your causeless mercy. What do you think of that?
That's incredible. Mataji took that to us.
Hmm?
Mataji took that to us in her class for Gaur Purnima.
This one?
Yeah, this one.
You have taken?
I have stolen. And you know there are four different translations of that verse.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita?
There's one Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur translates that verse in one place, and then in another place is a translation in Harmonies. And there's an old translation to the Prabhupada wrote in older
Kodikanta. And if you look in, it wouldn't be in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, because this part isn't discussed.
Mm-hmm. And the Prabhupada Sri Prabhupada analyzes it into 8 parts.
Mm.
And 4 parts are for the beginning, what first happened, up to the all the disagreements arising from various scriptures that go through. And then there's the middle part, the second snake, and then the ultimate ones. All the words have daya on the end.
Yeah.
That's the daya.
I'll read the purport. Did you read this purport? Okay, and then you can speak more about it, a few things that you remember. This important verse was quoted from Sri Chaitanya Chandradaya Natak, specifically describes the Lord's causeless mercy. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most magnanimous personality of Godhead, distributes his causeless mercy in 3 ways to the conditioned souls. Every living entity is morose in the material world because he is always in want. He undergoes a great struggle for existence and tries to minimize his material miserable condition by squeezing the utmost pleasure out of this world. However, the living entity is never successful in this endeavor. While in a miserable condition, a person sometimes seeks the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is very difficult for materialistic people to obtain. However, when one becomes Krishna conscious by the grace of the Lord, the flavor of the lotus feet of the Lord expands. And in this way, a materialist may gain freedom from his miseries. This is if one becomes Krishna conscious by the grace of the Lord. Actually, his mind is cleansed by his transcendental connection with the lotus feet of the Lord. At such a time, one is enlightened by the loving service of the Lord. There are many different kinds of scriptures, and by reading them, one often becomes puzzled. However, when one receives the mercy of the Lord, his confusion is mitigated. Not only are scriptural disparities resolved, but a kind of transcendental bliss is awakened. And in this way, one is fully satisfied. The transcendental loving service of the Lord constantly engages the conditioned soul in serving the Lord's lotus feet. Through such fortunate engagement, one's transcendental love for Krishna is increased. One's position is thus completely purified, and one is filled with transcendental bliss accompanied by the spirit soul's jubilation. Thus, the transcendental causeless mercy of the Lord is manifest in the heart of the devotee. At such a time, material needs no longer exist. The lamentation that invariably accompanies material desires also vanishes. By the grace of the Lord, one is elevated to the transcendental position, and then the transcendental mellows of the spiritual world are manifest in him. It does leave one longing for the mercy of the Lord, doesn't it?
It's much better than computer games.
One's devotional service then becomes firm, and one engages in the Lord's transcendental loving service with great determination. All these combine to fully awaken the devotee's heart with love for Krishna. In the beginning, a conditioned soul is bereft of Krishna consciousness and is always morose in his material activities. Later, by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes inquisitive to know the absolute truth. In this way, one begins to engage in the transcendental service of the Lord. It is by the Lord's grace that all misconceptions are vanquished and the heart cleansed of all material dirt. It is only then that the pleasure of transcendental bliss is awakened. By the Lord's mercy, one is finally convinced of the value of devotional service. When one can see the pastimes of the Lord everywhere, he is firmly situated in transcendental bliss. Such a devotee is relieved of all kinds of material desires, and he preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world. Krishna conscious activities separate one from material activities and the desire for liberation. At every step, the devotee feels himself connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although such a devotee may sometimes be involved in household life, he is untouched by material existence due to his constant engagement in devotional service. Thus, everyone is advised to take shelter of devotional service to become happy and liberated. Well, what do you think of that?
Got everything in there. It's speaking of a very deep transformation.
By the mercy of the Lord, yeah.
It sounds a little bit though he was speaking about himself.
Yeah. It does sound like that, doesn't it?
Conditioned thoughts are always in one.
And they're morose.
Mm-hmm. Morose because they, maybe when they get their material desires fulfilled.
Morose in its material activities.
We have to get a flavour of the lotus feet of the words.
What verse number was that?
Here, it's 119 in chapter 10. But it's from Chaitanya Chandradoya Natak.
So when Prabhupada says at the beginning, when I was first read that purport, he says that there's three ways, and then he doesn't sort of go first, second, third. So I was really struggling with the purport in terms of trying to understand its structure until I read other references where he spoke about this verse or other people spoke about it, and then the three ways are the beginning stage, the middle stage, and the final stage. So it's sort of there, but he doesn't actually keep to the one, two, three.
Mm. Well, that last one is definitely the advanced stage.
Yeah.
It is by the Lord's grace that all misconceptions are vanquished and the heart cleansed of all material dirt. It is only then that the pleasure of transcendental bliss is awakened. And one is finally convinced of the value of devotional service when one can see the pastimes of the Lord everywhere. He is situated, he is firmly situated in transcendental bliss. And then, when he's seeing the pastimes of the Lord everywhere, he's relieved of all kinds of material desires, and he preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world.
So do you think that Srila Prabhupada must be speaking about it?
Yeah, well, that's the part that makes
a lot of mysteries in there. What's his consciousness is supposed
to be. We'll finish hearing about Supdamana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised Supdamana to his feet and embraced him. They both became ecstatic in love and fell unconscious. After they had both regained their patience, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I saw in a dream that you were coming, and so this is very auspicious. I've been like a blind man, but your coming here restores my vision. Through you I see things accurately, or at all. Shubh said, my dear Lord, please excuse my offense. I gave up your company to go elsewhere, and that was my great mistake. My dear Lord, I do not even possess a trace of love at your Lord's feet. If I did, how could I go to another country? I am therefore a most sinful man. I gave up your company, but you did not give me up. By your merciful rope, you bound me by the neck and brought me back again to your Lord's feet. Supdamana then worshipped the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu in turn embraced him in the ecstasy of love. And after worshipping Nityananda Prabhu, Supdamana met Jagadananda, Mukunda, Shankara, and Sarvabhauma, as was befitting. Supdamana also offered his worshipful prayers at the lotus feet of Paramananda Puri, who in return embraced him in ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then gave Supdamana residence in a solitary place and ordered one servant to serve him with a supply of water and other necessities. I think that was Vanina. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat with all the devotees headed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and they were discussing the pastimes of Krishna. And then Govinda comes. Govinda appeared on the scene, offered his respectful obeisances, and spoke submissively. I am the servant of Ishwar Puri. My name is Govinda. And following the orders of my spiritual master, I've come here. Just before his departure from this mortal world to attain the highest perfection, Ishwar Puri told me that I should go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and render service unto him. Kashishwar will also come here after visiting all the holy places. However, following the orders of my spiritual master, have hastily come to be present at your lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my spiritual master, Ishwar Puri, always favors me with paternal affection. Therefore, out of his cause's mercy, he has sent you here. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did Ishwar Puri keep a servant who comes from a Sudra family? They spoke very I guess the culture was different. Yeah. Certain things you don't talk about, but they talked about them nevertheless.
Especially because they were expecting that as a result of such a question there would be great glorification. It's like they ask a question to evoke great glorification rather than to find a factual answer.
Or in a critical way.
Yeah.
The answer is going to be wonderful. Both Kashishwara and Govinda were personal servants of Ishwarpuri. After Ishwarpuri's demise, Kashishwara went to visit all the holy places of India. Following the orders of his spiritual master, Govinda immediately went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter. Govinda came from a Sudra family, but because he was initiated by Ishwarpuri, he was certainly a Brahmin. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya here asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why Ishwarpuri accepted a disciple from a Sudra family. According to the Smriti Shastra, which gives directions for the management of the Vanashram institution, a Brahmana cannot accept a disciple from the lower castes. In other words, a Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra cannot be accepted as a servant. If a spiritual master accepts such a person, he is contaminated. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya therefore asked why Ishwarpuri accepted a servant or disciple born of a Sudra family. In answer to this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that his spiritual master, Ishwarpuri, was so empowered that he was as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, Ishwarpuri was the spiritual master of the whole world. He was not a servant to any mundane rule or regulation. An empowered spiritual master like Ishwarpuri can bestow his mercy upon anyone, irrespective of caste or creed. The conclusion is that an empowered spiritual master is authorized by Krishna and should be considered to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is the verdict of Vishwanath Chakravarti. Jakshadari Tvenasamasta Sastre. An authorized spiritual master is as good as Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If Hari is free to act as he likes, the empowered spiritual master is also free. As Hari is not subject to the criticisms of mundane rules and regulations, the spiritual master empowered by him is also not subjected. Again, this is quite autobiographical.
Mm-hmm.
According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tar Pravartana, an authorized spiritual master empowered by Krishna can spread the glories of the holy name of the Lord, for he has the power of attorney from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the mundane world, anyone possessing his master's power of attorney can act on behalf of his master. Similarly, a spiritual master empowered by Krishna through his bona fide spiritual master should be considered as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is the meaning of Shakshadhari Tvena. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore describes the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the bona fide spiritual master as follows. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, and this is his reply to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master Ishwarpuri are completely independent, parama swatantra. Therefore, the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Ishwarpuri is not subjected to any Vedic rules and regulations. Nahi Veda Parantantra Paratantra. The mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not restricted to the jurisdiction of caste and creed. Jati Kula. Vidura was a Sudra, yet Krishna accepted lunch at his home. Lord Krishna's mercy is dependent only on affection. Being obliged only by affection, Lord Krishna acts very independently. Sneha. Sneha lesh apeksha matra Sri Krishna. So Krishna relies only on the devotee's affection. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is merciful, but his mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. He is dependent only on affection and nothing else. Service to Lord Krishna can be rendered in two ways. One can serve the Lord in affection or in veneration. When service is rendered in affection, it is the Lord's special mercy. When service is rendered in veneration, it is doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is actually involved. If Krishna's mercy is there, it is not dependent on any prescribed caste or creed.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to inform Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that the Lord is the spiritual master of everyone, and he does not care for mundane caste or creed. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited the example of Lord Krishna's accepting food at the house of Vidur, who was a Sudra by birth. By the same token, Ishwara Puri, an empowered spiritual master, could show mercy to anyone. As such, he accepted Govinda, although the boy was born in a Sudra family. When Govinda was initiated, he became a Brahmana and was accepted as Ishwara Puri's personal servant. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Sanatana Goswami states that if one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, he immediately becomes a Brahman. A pseudo-spiritual master cannot transform a person into a Brahman, but an authorized spiritual master can do so. This is the verdict of Shastra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the Goswamis. Any questions or comments?
What is the word for affection there?
Snehavas. Obliged by affection.
It seemed like in spiritual life can only progress from rules, regulations, and veneration to.
On the basis that the progress from one stage to the next is by the mercy of the Lord. The nature of Vidhi Marg is that it supports Rag Marg. In the line of Mahaprabhu. It's not separate, so it doesn't bring one to Vaikuntha, as Vaidhi Bhakti does usually.
So it was interesting you said that it's not sure if the Lord's mercy is involved when there's veneration. Can you explain?
Huh? Say that again. Did you ask me to explain that point?
Yes.
I think to take the easiest way to understand it is that's. He says, it is doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is actually involved. So in other words, Krishna hasn't revealed himself in the heart of that devotee. But yes, but some certain mercy is certainly there, but not compared to the natural affection born in the devotee's heart by the mercy of Krishna.
Doubt in the heart of the person?
No.
Or the doubt is in the observer?
The observer. Mm-hmm. When service is rendered in veneration, it is doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is actually involved. If Krishna's mercy is there, it is not dependent on any prescribed caste or creed.
Could that suggest that you can be doing acts of veneration of your own initiative and your own doing, but you can't be acting in
affection? The point is, when service is rendered in affection, it is the Lord's special mercy, not that the other one. That's the real point.
Yeah.
Not that the other devotional service isn't.
Invalid.
It's useless.
Yeah.
And it can lead you nowhere. Mm. But Krishna's interested in affection, so it's making the point that to come to the point of affection means that some special mercy is there, rather than just serving. There's nothing, no mercy.
Yeah.
That's not the point. Sneha lesha peksha matra sri Krishna kripara. That just a little bit of affection, or Krishna's reliance is only on this affection. And he's obliged by affection, and then he acts very independently. He can do what he wants. He becomes obliged to the devotee. So he raises someone to the platform of more exalted platform of life, even though he may be born in a Sudra family. So that's the basic point. By Krishna, if Krishna's the independent Supreme Lord, he can do as he likes. He can do it. Because the question was, how could Ishwara Puri have accepted a Sudra as a servant or a disciple? So the reply was, the Lord's devotee and the Lord of independent. And when they act independently, if in reciprocation with the servant's affection, they wish to elevate him and give him mercy, they're independent to do so. They're not restricted by some rule or regulation. That seems to be the message of this part. That it makes us desire to somehow get a little more mercy than we're getting. Any other questions or comments? Yeah.
That role that Srupnamada played, screening any text or song on that would come. Would that have been, would we understand that was something he was doing out of his personal great concern that the Lord should not hear something?
Because he didn't like it.
The Lord didn't like it.
He didn't like to hear things that are Bhakti Siddhanta Varuda and Rasabhasa. So he, Dhamma would read it first and to see if it was suitable to show the Lord.
And he'd offer corrections as well.
But the point being that he was the screen.
Mm-hmm.
He would explain why it wasn't suitable if it wasn't suitable. But in the earlier chapter, in the first chapter of Hanki Leela, actually, when Rupa Goswami comes, the Mahaprabhu reads, he glorifies Rupa Goswami to Srup Damodar, Savabhama Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy. He wanted to test them. He glorifies his writing ability to these great intellectuals and authors themselves. And they were so happy rather than envious. They didn't feel the spear of envy in their hearts when Mahaprabhu glorified them, because they were such exalted souls and they were carrying so much mercy of the Lord. Okay, it's just a little after 8. We'll stop here. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki
jai.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai.